Welcome to another episode of Burning the Ships. Today I've got my very, very good friend, Mrs. Q Muldrick. And I'm recording this intro after we actually did the interview. And I got to preface the interview with one thing. This is her second appearance on Burning the Ships. She is our second two-time guest. And our first interview was over a year ago. That's episode 7. And I encourage all of you to go back and listen to that, where she goes into her story and background and everything like that. This episode, we kind of get more into mindset and in the weeds of her business and things like that. But when I first interviewed her, it was the week before she was traveling. They did a destination wedding, her and her husband, Gunner. And at the time, her name was Q Patterson. So when I kicked off this interview with her, I used that name and just completely forgot that she is Q Muldrick now. But today I have Q Muldrick. But before I get into that, I've been, you know, as you guys have been following along or listening, I've kind of implemented. I do my son, who's 8, ask if I could start telling a joke of his every week. And I've been doing that kind of to kick off every episode, but lately he's been asking me to read the jokes like in real time. He wants the first time I see him to be when I'm doing an episode, so he writes them down, gives them to me. So, and this week's joke of the week, some of them anyway, why did the old man fall into the well? Because he couldn't see that well. That's JJ's joke of the week. So I get a kick out of that. Again, I think he's stealing these from his iPad or somewhere, but he claims he's making them up. I feel like I've heard that one before though. But now we will get into Mrs. Q Muldrick. Q has, like I said, become a very good friend of mine. I get a lot of fulfillment just now kind of being full-time for a couple years in the entrepreneurial space and doing this podcast and stuff like that. I get a lot of fulfillment from the people I meet, the relationships I build. I keep my bubble very small of people that I get very close to. But as I'm growing my business, I kind of have to expand that and you know, kind of break down that wall and allow new people in as I grow and build relationships and things like that. But with Q and her husband Gunner, that has not been very difficult. I met them, it's been a couple years ago now, through Legacy Family, which is a mastermind group I'm in that's kind of started off as real estate based, but for me it's more relationship based. But I met them, developed a good friendship with them, and then ultimately we teamed up with Q to handle our social media and all of our marketing and stuff like that through our lending company. So I've gotten very close to Q, and I was excited to sit back down with her to talk more mindset stuff. The first interview we did, like I said, it was episode 7, and we just kind of talked about her story. I did that there in her home in Charleston, South Carolina, so that was a lot of fun. But, you know, we had just started. She was episode 7. Not a lot of folks heard that one, so I'm excited to share Q with the audience now that has grown to what it has. And so before we get into the interview, I'm going to read Q's bio. And I wanted to read it because I don't want to miss out on anything. She's got so much good stuff going on, as you will hear when we get into the interview. But I'm going to read off, high level, a lot of that stuff, and then she'll elaborate on it as we get going. So Q Muldrick, short for Susie Q, is a bold and results-driven entrepreneur who has spent the last decade helping businesses of all sizes navigate the ever-evolving digital landscape. A Penn State graduate, Q combined her passion for marketing with her entrepreneurial mindset to build Legacy Digital Media, a boutique full-service marketing agency based in Charleston, South Carolina. Under her leadership, She has cultivated a powerhouse team of digital strategists, content creators, and brand builders, specializing in social media, SEO, email marketing, content creation, reputation management, website development, UGC, and influencer marketing. Q has worked across a wide range of industries, including personal brands, restaurants, the medical field, real estate, tech, health and wellness, e-commerce, and more. She understands that while every industry has its nuances, the core of digital marketing remains the same: great storytelling, strategic positioning, and data-driven decisions. Her philosophy is simple. Digital marketing should be an evolution, not an all-at-once approach. She believes in starting with what we know works organically, analyzing the data, and pouring fuel onto the fire only when the insights show us what's resonating. Instead of throwing 10 different marketing tactics at the wall, she helps brands refine their strategy by focusing on a few high-impact initiatives first, then scaling based on real performance metrics. Under Q's leadership, Legacy Digital Media has grown from a one-person operation to a thriving team of 10-plus in just 2 years. Scaling from five figures to seven figures in revenue, her agency has been recognized as Charleston's best marketing firm by both Charleston Choice and Post and Courier in 2024, a testament to the impact she and her team have had or have made on brands nationwide. While Q thrives on working with brands at all stages, she's exceptionally passionate about helping business owners cut through the noise and implement digital strategies that actually work. Whether collaborating with a startup founder, refining their brand, or a well-established company looking to modernize its marketing, her approach is always practical, data-driven, and designed for long-term success. So with that, I'll introduce Mrs. Q Muldrick. Susie Q Patterson. Welcome, or Q Muldrick now. Yes, I need to get it right. Welcome to Burning the Ships.
Thank you for having me. I'm happy.
How are you?
I'm good, man. Just chugging away one day at a time.
Yeah. Last time you were on here, it was, I think you were like our third podcast guest over a year ago. And we did it in person.
Yes.
And that whole episode was kind of your backstory, like your history with your career and your businesses and stuff like that. So we spent a lot of time on that stuff. And I encourage everybody to go back and listen to that episode. But we're going to get deeper this time. So we're going to get into a lot of mindset stuff. Q, you're one of my favorite people. And I, you know, fortunately, as I've gotten deeper into this, you know, into my business and leaving my corporate career and all that, it has opened up a lot of opportunities for me. And the biggest one is just meeting cool people. And, you know, we do business with you through all of our social media stuff. We'll talk about that. But the friendships that are created through that are great. And I consider you and Gunnar two of my best friends, and the folks on your team, I feel the same way. So I just want to acknowledge you and appreciate you for that. So.
Well, the feeling is mutual. You guys are definitely right up there with, you know, some of the most special people in our life. And there's something to be said about that for sure.
Yeah. Well, I've always respected your hustle, your energy. Like, you just have this boss vibe about you. And it's in every room you walk in. It also helps that, what are you, 6'2"?
Yes. Two. Right. That helps.
Right. Yep. But yeah, Q, I wanted to get you back on here. And, you know, now when we first talked, you were kind of still in, like, and I want to talk about your main business and some other things, but you were still in kind of those early phases. Y'all were building things out and you were having this rapid growth, right? And we talked a lot about how you were having to learn a lot of things and make a lot of mistakes on the fly and just to learn how to do things better. And you were actively working through all that. So it's been over a year since that conversation. Y'all continue to have growth. And before we get into that, I want to, for folks that don't know, you run a social media marketing company. And among that, there's a lot of other things and nuances within that. But called Legacy Digital. Y'all do all of our social media, marketing, branding, and stuff like that. So that's my view of it. I'm going to turn it over to you to kind of introduce yourself, that business, and then we'll go from there.
Absolutely. Yeah. So if you're watching this, go back to, I don't know if I'm episode 3, but we'll have to look at that.
Right.
You get the full recap of my story, where I came from. So I don't want to spend too much time on that. But, you know, high level from State College, Pennsylvania. I'm a Yankee and moved down south in 2016, and I'm not going back up there. I went to Penn State and studied hotel, restaurant, institutional management, and did nothing with that degree. I thought I was going to take over one of my grandfather's businesses. But it did teach me a lot about business for sure. But I would say I'm your atypical entrepreneur. Right now, this phase of my life, I am in digital marketing, and that's definitely been a common denominator in a lot of the businesses that I've worked with over the last decade. But yeah, like we talked about a year ago, my business was going into year 2. Now we're going into year 3, and it's crazy. I feel like I've been doing this for a lifetime. And it when you say, oh, we're going into year 3, you're like, how is that even possible? I feel like I've been doing this for 10 years, just this specific business. And I mean that in the most beautiful way, just because so much has happened in such a short amount of time. And yes, we have grown. And yes, things have become so much better than what we were. But we're at this new phase of growth that has this whole new roadmap of challenges and barriers that we're about to encounter. So I like to be transparent on these podcasts. We do social media, and perspectively, we look like we're crushing it, right? And we're doing really well. You know, we are doing well. But on the back end, what is happening in real life is real life problems, right? And we were just talking about that podcast and having the superpower, truly the superpower, to slow down and take a moment just to be like, okay, let's just take a second to think about everything that we have done this past year. And our team does that. At the end of the year, we sit down we have a team of all women, and they write down everything that they did that year. And then you sit down, and you're like, holy smokes, like, we have come so far. I totally forgot that we did that. I forgot that that happened. And we overcome all those boundaries. We thought the business was going to shut down. We thought we were going to lose this client. We thought, like, worst case scenario so many times, and look at us, we're here and we're on top and we're still moving forward. So, you know, talk about mindset, talking about, you know, having those impulsive moments of like these fear-based decisions that you're making in the moment, when in reality, you just need to pause and take a step back and be like, look how far I've come, right? And as cliche as that sounds, it's so powerful. This week, I had a moment where my anxiety just consumed me. I was on a campaign. I was like, I was the one with the camera in front of me, and I had to talk about our service
success
and all these things. And I had to be able to like rewire myself and push through that moment of like paralyzation, where I thought like something happened, and keep moving forward, because that's what being an entrepreneur is. Truly. It's if you don't sleep at night, if you don't know what's next, if your fear is always going to be riding shotgun with you, that bitch ain't going anywhere, right? She's going to be there 24/7, and you just have to learn to keep it parallel, not let it intersect. So this year, going to year 3, I think year 2 is our biggest growth year as far as learning experiences. Lots of failures, lots of roadblocks, but I wouldn't have changed one single thing, because if I didn't experience those, then I wouldn't be where I am today. And again, that is a cliche comment, but I know every single time I put my everything into everything that I had, my all into everything that I had in those moments. And I know that I left it all out on the field, and I couldn't have done anything different. And I think there's power in that, knowing that I didn't just half-ass it, knowing that I didn't just like, you know, sweep it on under the rug, knowing that I put my all into it was very, very powerful. So
I just think it's a lot to be said, and it's hard to recognize it. And kudos to you for recognizing it in the moment, it seems. But it usually on the back end of like pain and adversity, there's big breakthroughs a lot of times, right? And that's hard to, I have a twisted mentality when it comes to this. Like when things get smooth in business or just life in general, I feel like I'm not pushing hard enough, right? So I've got to push harder to create the chaos and the adversity and the pain that I'm very confident that breakthroughs will happen. But that doesn't feel good all the time,
yeah.
Right? It creates not just chaos for me. I've been managing this crap in my head forever. Mm-hmm. It's everybody around me, right? And as a hard charger like yourself, and we talked about it earlier, it's hard to not be that way all the time.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah. Well, people say you're a boss, that it's because I'm so intense 24/7.
Right.
And I need to work on my feminine energy here, right? It's something I struggle with. But it's just like when you run a company and you have, I mean, I don't have a huge team. I have, 10 employees, but I have, 30 plus clients. It all, at the end of the day, the buck stops with me, right? So that pressure is real. And I got to make sure my team sleeps and eats and has a house over their head. I got to make sure my clients are happy. And, no matter what is going on in the world, I'm the one that is the controlling factor in maintaining that momentum and keeping it growing. And I think, one of the biggest lessons, I actually learned it last week from Kelly Garrett. And you talk about like when things are smooth, that's not when you get complacent. That's when you double down. And she was speaking it from the perspective of, financials, when you're liquid, that's when you need to get more liquid, right? That's when you need to go out and get the BLOCs and get the extra loans and have those as cushion, because that's when you're winning right now. And that's when it's easier to double down on it. So
100%.
That applies to every moment, not just financially. Like when I'm like, oh, P&L looks good, culture's great. Never. Something's going to happen, right? So you just have to constantly be in reactive mode and proactive mode.
And it's and we I before we started recording, you were getting into something, and I paused you because I wanted it to be authentic and while we were recording. But we were talking about this idea of what we were just saying, but slowing down. Mm-hmm. And how you were giving the example when I cut you off of, like, the other day, you recognized it, like you recognized the anxiety building, but you knew how to handle it. You had to go out, go for a walk, and I cut you off as you were saying you called your sister or something like that. So kind of speak to that, more of that strategy of just recognizing and getting through those intense moments.
Absolutely. Well, those intense moments come from fear, which we just talked about. And this moment wasn't anything like that was detrimental to my business ending. But, I take pride in keeping my team happy and my clients happy. And I got a message that a client wanted to speak to me. And usually when a client wants to speak to me, that means there's an issue. They didn't say anything about there being an issue. I still don't know if there is an issue, but immediately my heart sank. And I was filming a campaign, and I was, like I said, in front of the camera, and my brain just couldn't function. Like, I couldn't speak. I didn't know what to say, because all I was focused on was this like big problem. And I had to take a step back and be like, okay, this is where I am right now. My whole team is watching me right now, right? I have a tone to set. I still have to continue to show up. They all know what just happened, and it's up to me right now to either melt, and throw myself a pity party and make this dramatic, or showcase strength. And I don't think that this is possible for everybody, but in those moments I could push through, but I do have to create space for myself. And I've learned that this last year. I've been going through like IVF for the last 2 years. And if that has taught me anything, you're not supposed to stress out. Like, that's the most annoying deal old. You're supposed to be like very calm and relaxed, whatever. But I have learned tools and habits to incorporate into my life that are very small and minimal, but they make such a major difference. So going on a 5-minute walk, literally just going outside and walking around the block, calling my sister. My sister is one of my biggest tools in my tool belt, right? She's known me since, like, for my entire life. She knows every phase of my life. She knows, how to react to every component of my life. So giving her a call and having her tell me it's not the end of the world. Also, I've picked up like some, it sounds like corny, but it's like my little feminine energy tactics, puzzles and paint to colors and Legos. And I'll do that for like 30 minutes every single night before I go to bed. And it's just something that still allows me to be productive. I'm still accomplishing something. I'm building something, and I will have a product at the end of it, but it's not this like high pressure, high intensity work. So
yeah.
Don't have a lot of time for it, but those little moments that I give myself, even if it might be a half a percentage of my day, create such a strong energy moving forward when I do hit these blocks, which happen regularly, you know?
Right. And so much there. You mentioned going through IVF. It took Katie and I 2 years to have Emma, you know, our first child. And I can't empathize with you because I wasn't the female every month having to be reminded that it's another month going by and it didn't happen. But I got to see it from the perspective of the trying to be the supportive husband, you know, and I know like there is no greater stress early on because I witnessed it with my wife. Right. And I felt it in my own way, but I can understand that. And it was difficult. And so I'm sorry, you know,
you look at that. I looked back at last year, and last year, like transparently, I'm open book, was one of the hardest years of my life, right? I was on hormones the majority of the year, and it was my husband, Gunnar, our first year of marriage and second year of business. And I had a bunch of other personal things that were big things going on. And again, going back to the whole like purpose of like what we're talking about, I wouldn't trade any of that. I learned so much about myself, about my marriage, about how capable I am, about where I can pull back in life and how I could do things better next time. And I think that's the mindset you just have to have, because if you marinate in your own misery, like you're just, it's like choose your heart. We know that. Like it's hard to sit in your pity party, which sometimes we do need a little pity party, a little cry in the shower, a little walk around the block, but then like get back up on the horse and go, you know?
Yes. Yeah. I hate that I can't remember which guest said this, but it was one of the podcast guests said this in one of the episodes that, and we were talking about just adversity in general, said, if we're breathing, like if we're sitting here breathing, you and I are looking at each other and we're taking a breath. We can say that we're batting 1,000 on life. We have successfully gotten through every single thing that life has thrown at us. Now, we may be going through it. Like, it might be stressful and all that, but we're batting 1,000. And that, like, I think that way anyway, but to hear it articulated from somebody else, it just made me think, like, I have achieved everything I'm trying to achieve. Now, it might not have been without a lot of hurdles and a lot of brick walls I had to run through and a lot of stress that continues to compound, but we're successful at that. And that, like, thinking from that perspective gives me a little bit of stress relief. You know, just, like I am 100% successful at getting through shit, you know?
Absolutely.
And so are you, right?
It's a superpower. It really is. And once you, all it is a mind shift at the end of the day. Like once you have that light bulb turn on, you could really do anything. You are capable of doing whatever you want. It's just you're getting in your own way. And it does take falling on your face over and over and over again to learn that. I don't, like your child, JJ is not going to have that parameter of patience and perception and but an open mind right now, because he hasn't fallen on his face enough times to understand that he is capable of getting through it. Right. And I think that's like, you know, the beauty of a child, but also like the beauty of being an adult is perception, you know, yep. It's like,
100%. Yeah. Yep. So, and let's talk about like where you guys are now, specifically you as the head of the snake of Legacy Digital, like you're running this thing. Where are you guys and where do you see it going over? And I don't really like to talk beyond a year because, you know, things just changed so much. But like, what are y'all actively trying to accomplish in 2025?
Absolutely. Great question. Well, I pride myself on operations, and I think I have a young team. And the beauty of having a young team in this industry is they are really fast and efficient at what they do. You know, there's pros and cons, right? You have a young girls got girls and guys coming out of college who this is their first time really doing anything. So that you could look at that as a con, but I love that. I love developing these girls into women and building their confidence and showing them that they're capable of doing more than what, like exactly what we were just talking about. You know, they're doing jobs that probably someone in their 30s would do. So building that confidence has been like so amazing and fun to watch for me. And my role is with that is getting out of operations, which I think I'm about like 95% out of operations, which is a beautiful thing. And all 95% out and 95% trust my team to do the right thing the first time. That has been a journey. Not that I didn't trust them, but just like making sure that they felt supported and confident in their roles to be independent in their roles. That's been one of my big goals this past year. So going into 2025, a few things. So we're a digital marketing agency. Like you said, we focus predominantly on building online brands through social media marketing and content creation, but we do everything from SEO, paid ads, email marketing, reputation management, and user-generated content, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But what I've learned is, well, I know this, marketing is expensive, right? And it's tough because it's like, especially for personal brands, what's the return on investment, right? And it's a new world and a new era that we're in. You know, I just had a conversation with this cute little man, came in today. He was like, and had to be in his late 70s, and he wants me to help promote his nonprofit, but he wants this like ROI in 30 days. And I'm like, that's not the way this type of service works. It's brand awareness and it's opportunity return. And it happens at the most random times, right? And I can't sit here and say this is exactly when it's going to happen and how it's going to happen, but if you work it this way, it will happen. And that's been tough to sell people, that, because I like to be transparent. I'm not going to tell, like, a lot of marketers will go out there and say, we'll get you 10,000 followers in 30 days, and that's impossible to do unless you're paying for bots. So you know what my goal this year is, putting in seed planter services that are affordable for businesses that we could help them scale slowly and have them feel comfortable in the marketing evolution and the marketing process. So when they are ready to financially take on a bigger concept, they trust us, we know their brand, and we could roll right into it. So a few of those look like, the first one is reputation management. So that's a service I've talked to you about before. Reputation management sounds way more important than what it really is. But the end of the day, when somebody's looking for your business, 98% of people go to Google and they'll search it. If I'm moving to Charleston, I look up for apartments in Charleston. I live in Charleston. I need to find a vet for my dogs. Vet's near me. I go to Florida, the Florida Keys, and I want to find an oyster bar. Oyster bar is near me. So that's, most people find their research initially through Google, right? They do their due diligence by going to the website, by going to their social media. But once you search something on Google, the first thing that comes up is online reviews, that 5-star rating. So people, without even looking at the name of the business, without clicking on the website, they look at those 5-star reviews and how many reviews that they have. So I love this service because we can increase the number of 5-star reviews and we could redirect negative reviews, which is awesome. We could also increase the frequency of how reviews come in and make sure that we're increasing the number of reviews. So you could just really establish yourself as the clear choice. So when someone's looking for your business but doesn't know that you exist, you're the clear choice. You're like, oh, wow, they have 4.7 stars and 260 reviews. In comparison to everyone else that's listed here, they're the best, right? That's without knowing anything. So
I just on that point, this past weekend, I was looking for local chiropractors. I've never been to one, and I've just got some tightness. And I went to Google, typed in chiropractors in Hampton Roads, and the only thing I was looking for was their rating and how many reviews they had. And I selected the one based off that. Nothing else. I didn't even read the reviews. I just wanted to see how many they had and what their overall rating was. So it's exactly what you're talking about.
It's crazy. And those other people, our businesses or chiropractors that were stacked up against, were probably great, right? They just probably don't have a marketing budget or just don't know what to do and how to make themselves or their reputation clear with that initial search. So that service is super affordable. It's like $250 a month and it's automated. It doesn't require any the client to do anything, we handle the whole component of making sure that the reviews come in. So then the next step in the process is like, all right, let's talk about your website. Let's talk about, you know, so it's a seed planter service, right? Something that's like, all right, let's get you warmed up, get you comfortable, and start you in the right spot. So that's a new service that we have that I love so much, mainly because it does provide a return on reviews, which provides a return on leads. So I love that because one of the biggest pain points in social media is return on investment.
Can I ask you kind of a specific question on something you said? You said redirect negative reviews. Can you explain that a little bit, how that works?
That's the coolest part. So
Yeah.
basically, without getting too technical, we, let's say, for example, 608B has a Google business page. Now, I will say we do every review platform. So if you're a restaurant, we do OpenTable, Yelp, Resy. If you have an apartment complex, we do apartments.com, ForRent, Zillow, anything that has reviews, we could push reviews to it. But Google obviously is the biggest review platform out there. So if somebody, let's say, they go through a funnel, basically. So we ask you guys for your client list, people that you're actively working with, to send us their first name, last name, email, and phone number. We put them through a funnel where they get hit with multiple review requests through emails, through SMS text messages. We could embed it on your website. We could put it in your email signature. We could do QR codes. And there's all types of different tactics that we could use and work with you guys on how to, you know, feet on the ground, promote reviews as well. So once somebody says leave a review, they have the option to click thumbs up or thumbs down. If they click thumbs up, they're brought to the review Google, wherever you want a review left, and it takes them directly to the review page. You don't have to click write a review or anything. It just takes you right there. So all you'd have to do is click that five star. If they had a bad experience, they click thumbs down and a form pops up. In that form, I collect all their information, first name, last name, email, phone number, and then they can go to town. These guys are jerks. They suck. They don't know what they're doing, blah, 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 blah. And when you hit send, it goes to your inbox, Jason's inbox. It never goes live. So it redirects. It does not go live on any public platform, and it goes internally to your inbox. So you guys could put that fire out before it even starts. So it's a pretty, we all know the power of a negative review, right? It's something that can deter somebody from going somewhere if somebody else had a bad experience. So that's why restaurants really benefit from this, or apartment complexes, just because a lot of people, they might actually read the reviews. And if there's, you know, multiple negative ones, they're gonna be like, oh, I'm not gonna go there, right? So.
Yeah, I'm thinking through this. You're giving me a lot of questions that I want to ask you offline, just some
Yeah,
things. But like
absolutely.
I'm thinking of like situations where I read negative reviews intent like proactively, and it's usually like TripAdvisor, you
Yep.
know, when I'm looking to go to a like Katie and I just booked a little trip for the summer just for the two of us. And every place we looked at, I didn't look at the positive reviews. I went and found all the negative ones and seeing if there was consistency there. So had, you know, and I would imagine somebody as big as TripAdvisor have something in place to redirect these reviews maybe, but
Yeah,
you
so
know, I
there's a lot of review platforms out there and a lot of ones that are built in. So TripAdvisor has a lot of automation. So once you guys stay there, you'll get emails saying, hey, leave a
yeah.
review. They don't have the redirection component to it, though. What we can't do, I cannot stop somebody from going directly to Google and leaving a review. That's why we like to keep them in this funnel. So you
I
guys
got you.
sending us. So for example, like we have a few clients, that do what y'all do and in reputation management, and we send them a review request as soon as I think it's more so when they get paid back their full amount, right? So if somebody borrowed money from you and then they get paid back with the interest, like when that the balloon hits, we send them a review because that's when they're like most excited. That's when they just got hit with a lot of money. They're so happy about the partnership. So we'll hit them intentionally at that time and they'll go in and leave a positive review. So, for example, for like a restaurant, I wouldn't send a review 30 days later. I want to send it within 24 hours of getting that, but I want to capture it while they're in that moment of having either a really good experience or a really bad experience. So we'll make sure we work with the clients to figure out the cadence and best times to send all these reviews.
Yeah, the biggest place right now, like in our business, where a lot like the lending business is so organic, you know. So I mean, we're touching, feeling, figuratively, these people, but the podcast, trying to grow that, which it's growing great, but trying to get people to leave reviews in Apple because it's, or Spotify, is so cumbersome. You got to click here and then type some things. But there's no bigger impact. Like one review in Apple shoots us way up the recommended list, you know, but getting people to do it is very difficult. So I'll talk to you about that offline because I'm about to
And
talk around that. So,
that's what the funnel does. It creates the
right.
consistency and recency and frequency, because it's like, yeah, we could reach out and say, hey, leave me a review, but then you got to do that regularly, right?
Yeah.
The funnel just is the cyclical service. So yeah, big fan of that one. That's like my big, you know, from an internal perspective, you know, it doesn't require me to hire somebody, right?
Right.
So we have virtual assistants that can manage this because it's so fluid, and it's not this white glove service that we have like our other services. So internally, it helps increase my revenue while not bringing on any expenses, which is wonderful. Very, very low cost. So that's from the internal side why I really want to grow that, but also from the business side, it's like a must, in my opinion. Before you spend $10,000 on a website and $5,000 a month on social media and all this on paid ads, let's start with like the very beginning process of the funnel where someone finds you.
Yeah.
So that's one of our new services. And then another big one is one-off campaigns. So sometimes people can't afford, you know, social media monthly. It's expensive, right? Managing social media is very time consuming and costs a lot of money. So we're doing, again, a seed planter service for people who may have a social media team in-house that can't support the content creation side of it. We'll come and we'll film a big campaign with them, edit it, and hand it over to them to deploy on their own, right? So they still have control in the process, and they're still managing the day-to-day, but they could focus more on the narrative and the day-to-day storyline, and then we could put together like a 90-day strategy of curated content based off of what we know is happening in those 90 days. And it's just a one-time fee, and then we pass it off and they manage it from there. So that's great for some clients who like, hey, we have an in-house social media team, but we don't want to hire a production team. We don't have time to put the campaign together. We want somebody else to come in and do that, and then we'll manage it. So that's one we're pushing. And then lastly is our UGC campaign. So UGC stands for user-generated content. And this content performs way better than professionally polished content. Not to say professionally polished content, where a videographer comes in and films, is super important because it gives the perspective of professionalism, right? If I'm sitting there and filming everything on the phone versus having professional content, the viewer is going to look at the professional content as someone who is higher up and has more experience because of it being professional. But the user-generated content performs better because it's more authentic, right? So it's great to have both of them in there. I'm sure you guys, your content performs best when you're bringing your kids in, right? Or talking about something with a story with your wife, and it's just you pulling your phone out and talking, right? Versus a story, a video of you sitting, you know, with lighting and a mic and talking about, you know, an educational component of your
Right.
business. So we are putting together user-generated content usually requires you paying an influencer to create this content and post it on their page. And that's where it gets really expensive. Influencers are very powerful, but they're also a pain in the ass to work with, and they're very, very expensive. So
So just from my lack of knowledge, when you refer to somebody as an influencer, that what is there a standard there? Like somebody that has a million plus followers is technically how's that
yeah.
defined?
So there's micro influencers and macro influencers.
Okay.
I personally love micro influencers because they're easier to work with, they're cheaper, and they're a little bit more motivated versus somebody who has, say, 50,000 followers and over, definitely has a, you know, a bigger presence, a bigger reach, but also a bigger personality, and they, in not a good way, right?
Right.
They're difficult to work with. They have higher price points, and they aren't as like connected to the brand. They're just doing it to check a box. Not everybody, but a lot of influencers you'll see, hey, this is a great cell phone case, and it'll say add on it, right? And I know like that's a part of the process with the partnership, but I'm a big believer in micro influencers just because they'll put more thought into the process. So I have a team of girls who are creators, right? They're not influencers, right? But they are creators. They know how to professionally film content on their iPhone. We have all types of gadgets and like stabilizers and lights and little props. And we will go out and take a bunch of content of it from the lifestyle perspective. We actually just did one for a cannabis liquor, and we did a mocktail shoot with it. Again, the girls just pull their phones out, make little mocktails, and they're sitting out by the pool. And we did educational content on talking about like cannabis and drinking and, you know, best practices, and then lifestyle content. So we could hand all this over, and it looks like an influencer shot it and filmed it, but they're paying, you know, tenth of the price. So that's something we're really excited about. So those are three big seed planter services that we're implementing this year. And again, from the perspective internally, it's just helping us get some fish in the pond into our pipeline so we could build trust with them in an affordable way. So when they're ready to, you know, increase their marketing budget, we're right there in the pipeline with them.
Yeah, I'm gonna get on a soapbox for a minute. And because this is like, in my former career, marketing was like, we had an internal marketing, you know, big insurance company. So they handled everything internally and, you know, it was done for us. But I was in sales, so I was a part of it, right? So, but when now that, like, as a full-time entrepreneur, this idea of being able to measure an ROI on everything, and you alluded to this earlier, there's some things you just can't project an ROI. You have to trust, and you can see an ROI. You might not be able to measure it, but I'll give a few examples. We started working with you guys a little over a year ago, I think, is where January of last year is when we got active and y'all started posting stuff for us. We didn't know how to measure that, right? And I mean, we had conversations with you about like, we're not expecting a specific return, but we don't know what to expect, right? And I talked to so many people that see all the stuff we're putting out on social media, and they'll ask, how are y'all keeping up? How are y'all getting so much stuff out there? We hire somebody to do it. Other than a video of my kids hunting or something like that, everything else, now we're involved with it. We're sharing ideas. We're collaborating, but you guys are proactively doing all that stuff, so I don't have to think about it. Yep. And that return for me is, it's a piece of my business that I know has to be done. I am confident that I could do it if I was forced to do it, but I'm very confident that I'll never be consistent with it on my own. Mm-hmm. Professionally, nor will I just be consistent. Like, I won't post every day. I won't do the story. I have a hard time doing those things. So the return there is peace of mind, knowing that my virtual business card, my online business card, is staying active, is staying up to date. By hiring someone on, you know, basically y'all are part of our team. Y'all do all that for us. And that return is that peace of mind. And I can't put a dollar amount on that.
Right.
The other piece of it is, what's the point of all this stuff being out there? Like, if in a perfect world, I would be in a mountain, and you know, on a mountain with no service, never on the internet ever again.
My husband.
Right. Or on a beach somewhere, I would never have my face online again. But the business that I'm in, I love people and I don't mind doing it. But the I know it's a thing that we have to do, and it's the not just the best, but the lowest cost, the lowest barrier to get yourself out there to everybody. So I know it's like crucial to every business. And when I hear people, when I'm out and about, say, man, God, every time I open up Facebook, it's another video of you talking. That's a win. That is a return on that investment. And for folks that will not spend that money, and they try to do it, and I see it all around, but I see folks in real estate and other businesses, they'll get really heavy for a month with content, and then they'll die off. You don't see anything else. And then another month they get really heavy, and it's no consistency. Yep. Spend the money whether it's you're big enough to hire somebody internally to do it, or hire someone like Legacy Digital, it has undoubtedly, I can't put a number to it, but driven so much traffic to our company, both in from investors and borrowers and podcast listeners and all that. So
yeah, and like you guys have so many, like personally from what I've seen, like I know there's a network component to it, but you're speaking on stages and you're getting on more podcasts and creating, it's an opportunity return, right? It's
yep.
It's one of those things that like I always tell people, especially in the personal brand world, social media and the personal brand world is a partnership, right? Like we will take over, like you said, all the BS stuff, the editing, the posting, the engagements, the data, the day-to-day daily nuances to save you time. But we need you guys feet on the ground to be pushing it, right? When you are at these networking events, when you're talking on podcasts, when you're speaking on panels, when you're having a conversation with somebody saying, hey, follow us, right? Follow us on social media. This is how, when I leave this room or I walk away from this conversation or get off this stage, that's how we stay connected, right? That's where I could continue to provide you value. I could continue to provide you with opportunities every single day, right? And it doesn't have to be, oh, hey, I'll see the next networking event next year. It's something that makes opportunities happen faster. And that's the beauty of it, right? There's, yeah. You know, it's something in the personal brand world, there's no like call to action other than like, hey, go to my website and fill out a form. The call to actions happen in the views and the DMs, right? It's like, hey, man, I saw you talk about this and I really want to be a part of it. Can you tell me more about it?
Yeah. And then that's
telling you for 2 years and then they come out of nowhere and they're like, wow, that I want to invest with you. So it's like stories like that I hear from the personal brand side, especially in real estate. It's where consistency is the number one key. For
right. And you may, and a lot of times you may never know that them seeing a reel or something on social media was what triggered them to call. Sometimes they don't even mention it. It's yep. I equate it to putting a billboard on the side of the highway.
Yep.
People see it every day. They're commuting to work. They're seeing it every day. And then one day, let's say you're selling insurance and they don't like their claim they just went through. Oh, I keep seeing Jason on that billboard. Let me call him up. And they may never mention that billboard. So you can't measure that return. You just trust that it is steering traffic. And this is no different than that, you know?
Yep. It's but, so true. It's yeah. so true. Brand, I mean, it's amazing to hear a client of ours say that, right? Especially in the personal brand space, you know, and a product space, it's easy because I'm driving them to a website to purchase a product, right?
Yeah.
It's easy to show return on investment there. But, you know, it's that there's so much power behind it. And especially in your industry, all it takes is one big win to pay for our services for the year. So
right.
it's something that, you know, you guys are a true testament of what a solid, solid client should be doing. And, you know, for anybody that's listening, if you are outsourcing or bringing somebody in-house, realize that this isn't just something you pass off to somebody. It requires your time too. And understand that the time that, whether it's your outsourced team or in-house team, it is, they're putting a lot of time into it. People look at social media as very like narcissistic and like, you know, oh, it's just for kids. No, it's a science and it takes a lot of time, right? Like for 1 hour of filming, it takes 3 hours of editing, right? That's just like a simple formula right there. And then you factor in everything else that comes to it when it comes to batching content, creating captions, hashtags, posting on a regular basis, responding to DMs, responding to comments, reaching out to other people to bring followers back and building out assets. So it's not something that, you know, we could just do easily. It's a lot of time and a lot of effort. And, you know, as somebody who would be investing into that, realize your time and effort is needed too. And it's not going to work if you don't work the system.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want, again, if you're listening to this and you want more information, because if you're listening to this or watching this, you undoubtedly have seen a bunch of our content online. Well, this is the reason why. It's Q and her team. Reach out to them. If nothing else, have the conversation. And even if you do like a one-off campaign just to test it out and then see if it's something you want to move forward with, it doesn't hurt to reach out. Like Q's not, I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but you're not going to charge somebody for just a phone call to, you know, interact and see.
Sometimes it just takes a conversation. Like people, what I hear, especially in the personal brand space, people just don't know what to do, right? that's what we're here for, right? And I the first thing I do when I get on any type of sales call, usually it takes a couple calls to get someone comfortable and have them understand the importance of it. And I do all that for free, right? I'll have three or four calls with people before they're ready to make a decision. We put together a digital evolution plan that has a timeline on it that talks about hypothetically what it would look like to start with a small service like reputation management. And once we get the data that we need, let's discuss building the next phase of it. And then once we get the data we need, discuss the next phase of it. So it's something that, again, at the end of the day, it's a partnership. And like, I'm not bringing somebody on to check a box. I'm bringing somebody on with intentionality. And, you know, I always make sure on these calls that they understand, you know, what they have to do on there and too. So right. I do think there's a lot of educating that needs to happen on the sales calls in order for it to be a successful partnership for sure.
Gotcha. I love it. I want to go back to something you mentioned right at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah.
You said that at the end of every year or the few years y'all have been in business, you sit down with the team and y'all reflect on all the things you've done good and how powerful that is. Have you considered doing that like on a quarterly basis?
We need to. You know, it's crazy. I wish like... Sometimes we're about to hire interns, which I'm really excited about because there's so many things that we could do to continue just to keep the peace in the culture. And I think culture, if anybody asks me, I always have during interviews, like, what's the most important thing to you and an employee? And culture is everything, right? And culture gets crazy when chaos is just everywhere. And chaos happens because we don't take the time we need to sit and pause and reflect. And I 100%, I'm going to go tell Abby we're really, because it is what we do in a week. We're like, holy shit, we just like killed 7 campaigns. We brought on 4 clients. We walked out this project. Like it's nuts what we're capable of doing. And I think just taking some time to bask in that glory is very rewarding and it just keeps that pilot light fueled, keeps you up.
Yeah. I say that because it's something we're going through right now. From the lending side, we've been in business year and a half, roughly. But it was, for those that aren't watching, it was slow growth, and then boom, the last 6 months, it has just blown up. A lot of that is building a reputation as, we know what we're doing. We are experts in this space through social media. We've built that brand, but at the same time, and I'm more guilty than anybody else between Tim, Bill, anybody else I'm associated with. I don't slow down to celebrate wins, right? So I set these huge goals. My role is, in our business is always the visionary, and I just full of ideas. 1 out of 100 makes sense, but I just constantly turning and pushing and pushing and pushing. I never celebrate. So one thing that we've done this year, and the reason I asked about the quarterly thing, is we have our big annual goal, but we are setting very clear quarterly goals, and then we're backing into really weekly, monthly goals, and we're going to celebrate the hell out of them. Like, we have to take a breath and celebrate, because the reality is I'll never be satisfied if I don't stop for a minute. Yeah. It goes back to what we were talking about earlier, So.
And it's being intentional with those celebrations. Like, we have quarterly reviews with our team that we do, but it's an agenda, right? You go in and you're like, okay, here's your KPIs. You hit them. Great job. But it's like, let's actually take an hour out of our time and just focus on the wins and the wins only, right? And just make it a true celebration, because, people love to be celebrated too. I think that's, I've learned a lot about having a young team. I can't afford 6-figure salaries at the moment. So I'm like, how can I reward them in other ways? And they love words of affirmation. Love it. They love presents, but they love being told, like, you are doing, and if you killed it, you're crushing it. Like, that goes so far. So thank you for that. I wrote that down. We have this big whiteboard where we write like motivational quotes, and we're going to do like wins of the week. I'm going to have Garrett do that.
I love it.
Shout out to, Mara for knocking out an 8-hour campaign with the 608 B-Boys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's awesome. And Mara, we're just getting to know her, but she's I'm excited to work with her.
I love her. Yeah. You guys, I'm very, very excited for you guys to
know her. Well, Q, I want to kind of wrap things up. I want to get back into the mindset piece of this a little bit. Now, I think everybody has a good understanding of what you do. And like I said, I encourage everybody to kind of take some action on this, at least have a conversation if you don't currently have a plan around social media and all the other things you discussed. But you alluded earlier that, you know, you're from Pennsylvania, went to Penn State, and your grandfather is a big entrepreneur in that area. And on our last podcast, you talked about him a good bit.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he's most proud of about you?
That's a great question. You know, I was actually just there a few weeks ago. My family has a restaurant, a Southern restaurant. It's called Gigi's. And my grandfather was, it's interesting. My grandfather growing up, military guy, like didn't mess around. And as he's gotten older, he's, you know, just softened up a little bit. Don't tell him I said that. But he was like looking at me from across the table and he was like, how did you get the way? Like, how did you get this way? I just don't understand why you are the way you are. He's like, I have no words for it. And for me, I was like, thank you. This means, coming from him, like, that means the world. I think he would be most proud of my strength through all of this and my tenacity. I don't think there's a single moment. I think as a woman running a business, he loves that. He loves successful females. And, you know, he grew up in a male-dominated industry in a male-dominated generation. And I think he's so proud that he has a family member who operates and owns her own successful business without him, like, you know, paying for everything.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And I'll kind of piggyback on him a little bit there. But like, well, you there's several women in my life that I've encountered that are inspirations to my daughter. Right. And inspirations to me in a lot of ways, but to a 13-year-old girl that's watching her dad be an entrepreneur and also getting, I expose her to everything you're doing, like Kelly Garrett, my former CEO at the company I worked for years was a woman. I want her exposed to all these powerful women so she doesn't look at what I'm doing and think, oh, that's just dad's role. Like, I can't ever do that. Yep. So it is an inspiration. Y'all met her a couple times or once at least, my daughter, but she worships you and Abby. You know, she just, she asks about y'all all the time, you know. Was that the girl from Boston and blah, blah, blah. So it.
Paige, that your kids are a hot commodity. I always tell people, like I told Mara, I'm like, Jason's kids could probably kick your ass. Yeah, like, don't you know? Yep. I'm like, you'll see.
Yeah, no.
Them. No.
You know, I have to. I know how much you worship your grandfather, right? Yeah. And I know, but I know it goes both ways. I'll tell you this. Tim Bratz shared something in Wyoming about a conversation he had with your grandfather, and what came out of it was focus on revenue generating activities and hunt more rabbits versus cooking more rabbits.
Yeah.
I instantly came back from that trip and said, guys, because Tim and Bill weren't there, we have to go hunt. All three of us, we got to go hunt. Yeah. And that was October.
Mm-hmm.
And that mentality alone, I mean, I'm not going to go into numbers, but things absolutely rocket ship when we just put all the focus in that. So,
and it's so simple, right? The beauty of looking at the generational difference between entrepreneurship is like we complicate things. But if you go back to the foundations of what it means to like run a business and be a successful business owner, it's just putting your head down and working your ass off. And that you don't have to have, trust me, mentorships and coaches are like, my grandfather didn't have that. He thinks it's like these masterminds, he thinks they're amazing. He's like, wow, I can't imagine where I would be if I actually had that. But, you know, it's the work ethic, you know, that I think this generation, not that they lack it by any means, but the work ethic in his generation was 10 times harder than what it is now. Now we have access to all these tools and concepts to make our entrepreneurship journey a little bit easier. But he was like, you know, getting down and dirty with every single component of it. And there was just this like no BS mentality that he's always had his entire life. I think that trickled into us. Well, I know it did, his entire family. And I think that, you know, I think he's proud of all of us, truly. I even like our my 13-year-old little cousin, he's so just proud of his family and how connected we are and how strong we are and how successful, not even financially, but just successful all of us are individually. We're a big family. The fact that we're not like in jail or mad or whatever, like I think that's a big win in his.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah. You're a good human, right?
Yeah.
Take all the money, everything away. You're just a good human being. And
absolutely.
And you bring good energy to, you know, and sometimes you got to, I will be the first to admit, because everybody asks me all the time, you're always good energy and positive. Well, I'm not.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not always that way. But I know that I bring the most value to this world if I can, even sometimes I have to put on the face, but just being mm-hmm. positive and good energy, I'm not going to share and impact other people with that bad energy. Now, my wife may say otherwise, because behind closed doors, I can be a little rough to deal with. But
that applies to everyone but our significant others.
Yeah, exactly. But no, Q, I we covered a lot of ground and kind of went all over the place with that. But I can't thank you enough. I am always, I try to think about all the things I'm grateful for, right? And it's these relationships that, like I mentioned earlier, I would not know you if not for other relationships that I made and other, like joining a mastermind and all that stuff. So you mentioned Kelly Garrett earlier. She's like
one
of my biggest mentors, and I love her to death, but I wouldn't know her without knowing, you know, Bratz, and wouldn't know Bratz without somebody recommending me to reach out to him, you know, those kind of things. And I'm kind of rambling on that now, but I'm so grateful for those relationships leading to more relationships. And I'm fulfilled every day by it. So, and you're a big piece of that. So.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. I love you guys so much. And it's amazing how far y'all have come in such a short amount of time as well. Like, again, perspectively looking at y'all on social media, success is real, but I know there's things that, you know, are going on in the back end, and the back end is where that network helps. And
yep.
It's like, it's your safety net, your support system, and what gets you through, you know, the trials and tribulations of entrepreneurship. And I call them, it's like my permanent tool belt of people. And I have different people. My sister is always number one, but everybody else, I have a person to call for something, and they will have the answer, or they will have a way to the answer. And that's the power of a network.
I'm going to show you this, Q, because this is, you're going to laugh at how I take notes, but these are my notes from a podcast yesterday. And if you see, I don't know if you could see it, but right here.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know it's terrible, but look what I wrote. Who to ask.
Yes.
And that is, we were talking about the same topic, but my network, there's absolutely nothing that can come in front of me that I don't have a direct line to somebody I can call and figure it out. Or there's not a market, like for a loan, for example. If somebody comes to me and wants us to do a loan in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah.
I've never been there. Don't know anything about it. But I know who to call, right? Or in every situation. So that is so powerful. I'm glad you brought that up. So,
it's real thing.
Anything else you want to leave the folks with, Q?
No, I think, you know, this is corny, but there's a quote that, and I'm going to mess it up, but I've been kind of living by lately, and I heard it a few weeks ago, and I think it's very powerful based off what the topic that we had today, and also just being an entrepreneur. If you're not changing it, you're choosing it.
Yes. Okay.
Exactly. So re-edit that way.
You're
choosing it. And that was powerful to me, because even like at night when I sit down, I get on my phone and I start scrolling, and I'm like, I need to stop getting on social media at night, but I'm choosing, like, I am intentionally choosing that. I'm intentionally not choosing to pick up a book and read or do one of my arts and crafts, you know, in my relationship, you know, if I react a certain way, that's on me. Right. And it's just taking full ownership of everything in your life and not creating this sense of like putting it on somebody else or it's some type of other outside factor. At the end of the day, the buck stops with you, and you have the complete authority to change anything that you want in your life. So that's my biggest takeaway, just from entrepreneurship, from life, from this podcast. And it's kind of like what I'm standing by right now, and it's getting through.
I love it. And look, you're going to look back on, you know, both personally and professionally, you've already said it, but you're going to look back in a couple years and look at these moments, 2024 as I had to go through that. Had to go through that, and everything I have right now is better because of it. So you have a great perspective on all that and a great approach, and I appreciate you sharing it with everybody, Q.
Of course. Well, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on, and that'll wrap up another Burning the Ships. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Burning the Ships. I want to give a special thanks to our sponsor, 608B Capital, helping real estate investors secure fast, reliable funding to fuel their boldest moves. If you're ready to take your investing to the next level, visit 608bcapital.com to learn more. If you found value in today's episode, please take a moment to rate and review the podcast. Your feedback not only helps us improve, but it also helps us reach more people who are ready to burn the ships and commit fully to their goals. And don't forget to share the episode with someone who needs that extra push to take bold action. I'll leave you with this. Burning the ships isn't just about removing the option to retreat. It's about unlocking the courage to charge forward. No matter the odds, the past is behind you and the future is yours to conquer. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time on Burning the Ships.